two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It's KSL's Unrivaled, Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Yes, we are open for business. This is the drive-through version, the takeout version, if you will, of sports radio, because we're still operating. We still are paying our employees, and here we are making this thing happen. We're still doing the show every day. Of course, we have our coronavirus coverage that we do on KSL News Radio extended through the day, and you can still get our show in its entirety on the podcast. If you miss anything and anything over the air, you can always download it. So our first guest on the evening, though, as we're going to kick things off here, he's one of our colleagues at KSLSports.com. He is Sean O'Connell, OC. We're going to kick him off with The Cut right here.
The Cut at 8:05. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled top sports story of the hour. Here's what made The Cut.
All right, so hey, we're hoping everything works.
Alex, yeah, just ahead, one word of clarification.
Yeah, what's up?
Since we are in the drive, we're in the drive-up version. We just want everyone out there in Radio Land to know that Alex is wearing a hairnet. So,
well, and regulation says you got to wear the beard net too,
and the beard net as well. So he's
part of the deal.
Yeah, so his hair on his face does not get in your food.
Sean O'Connell joining us on the program, also remotely, as everybody has to be in different rooms now. All the shows I watch, all the podcasts I listen to, everybody's in a different room. We're in a weird new world, brother.
Yeah, it's an odd time. For me, honestly, I feel like I was prepared for this. I've been working for SiriusXM, right, doing my Pac-12 Today show, and we broadcast that every day remotely, Monday through Friday.
Right.
Done remotely. So I've been doing that for months, and I feel like my little laundry room studio bunker here had me uniquely prepared, but maybe that's just because people don't actually want to be in a studio with me.
Well, he's a radio prepper. He's one of those. Yeah. He's prepping for the times. He's a radio prepper.
He buried some microphones in the backyard just in case. Let's kick things off first then with the Pac-12 stuff, because you are the Pac-12 expert. You can also find Sean's columns periodically at KSLSports.com, contributor for us and columnist for us there, and talking all things Pac-12. First of all, I see these garbage fake top 25s, but I'm giving everybody a pass. You can make up whatever list you want now. It's fine. And it seems like USA Today put one out, and I think it was the usual suspects. Washington and USC kind of in the mid-20s for an early top 25, and then Oregon at 4. No Utah to be found there. Does that sound right to you?
Look, I think Utah is going to have a rebuilding year a little bit. I think they're going to be a good team because they're well coached and they have excellent talent coming in, but I think it's going to be a little bit of a rebuilding year. I'm surprised Arizona State's not getting a little bit more love, because I think that Herm Edwards is ready to take the next step now that he's got Jaden Daniels with a little bit of experience. But just like everyone else, we should probably chill out on the preseason top 25, especially because we don't know if the season is going to start on time.
I know, it makes no difference. That's how blinded we are by anything sports right now, and anything like people are playing tiddlywinks in my neighborhood, like my kids are at my house, like very competitively, because we're without sports. So I had the same thought about, and my idea too was that Oregon at 4 seems really high.
Yeah, that so Oregon, there's a lot of trust that they're going to be able to replace 4 starting offensive linemen who are experienced, 3 of whom are definitely going to be on NFL rosters next year. I guess everyone's just like, oh, well, Mario Cristobal, he's been recruiting well. He's an offensive line guy. He's got Penei Sewell to anchor that whole thing. We all know that the offensive line is a chain, and even one weak link in there can be a serious problem. Yeah, they have the best offensive lineman in the country playing left tackle for them, but you're replacing a quarterback who's going to be a first-round pick. I mean, there's a lot of reasons to scratch your head about whether or not Oregon is going to be an obvious favorite, even in the Pac-12 North.
I think that Oregon has turned a corner, though. They've created a winning culture there. They, you know, Mario Cristobal has the lineage. You know, he was at Alabama. He played at the University of Miami. He understands how to think on that big picture and how to build a program that's of national significance. And I think that's what people are beginning to recognize. And I agree with you. There certainly are some holes to fill. But the one thing that isn't there to fill, and that's an attitude and a mindset, and it really goes a long way. You know, you look at Chris Peterson, and he was really good at building culture, and David Shaw and some of these coaches, they understand how important that is to winning. I'm fascinated by what the Pac-12 is going to look like this year. But it's going to be different in some regards because of the lack of preparation time. There's no spring football. I'm just curious what you think will hurt teams, or maybe who's going to be hurt most by not having spring practice.
Well, I actually, my co-host Jeff Schwartz and I had this exact conversation on our Pac-12 Today podcast. Who did the lack of spring ball hurt the worst? First of all, Herm Edwards looks like a genius yet again because he does spring ball earlier than any team in the country. So they got most of their spring camp in. They missed, I think, a total of 5 practices in spring ball, where everyone else, they're out, right? They don't get spring ball. And we'll see if there's compensation for that. They allow teams maybe to come in June and get together for organized practices or something. The NCAA should be looking at all of it, because the University of Utah is hurt pretty significantly by the lack of spring football. And I think any other team who's got to break in a new starting quarterback is going to be hurt pretty significantly by the lack of spring ball, right? It always takes offenses extra time to catch up. In defense, if one guy does his job, even if 10 guys suck, if one guy does his job, you can stop the play. But offense needs to be a well-oiled machine with all 11 people doing their job and doing it right. Oregon, to Scott's point, we find out this year if they're a rebuild team or if they're a reload team. So anyone who's breaking in new starters, and that's a lot of teams around the Pac-12, mm-hmm. they're significantly hurt by the fact that we don't get spring football.
Sean O'Connell joins us here on KSL's Unrivaled. At Real OC Sports is the Twitter page you can follow. And to break away from Pac-12 before we get into our Trash Talk segment coming up in just a little bit, I want to ask about what on earth took Dana White so dang long to be the last person on the planet to accept that sports was going to have to maybe take a hiatus for a minute?
Well, two things, Alex, because it's an opportunity to be the only show in town.
That's
right?
Yes, yeah, it's true.
And for the UFC to be the only show in town and to give people something to watch, that can buy you millions of new fans. Legitimately, millions of new fans, which, of course, translates directly to Dana White's pocketbook. So, of course, he was reticent to say, all right, well, we'll just shut it down like everyone else.
The amount of places they were searching for, you know, to be able to do events, and now everybody's just had to say, sorry, man, we got to close down.
He still hasn't given up on the Khabib fight. He's still trying to find an April 18th date.
Oh, my goodness.
In spot. For Khabib Nurmagomedov and Tony Ferguson, because that fight has been made.
What was the real? So, what was the second one then? What's the second thing that makes it? Just because he's Dana White?
The fact that that's part of it. But also the idea that to put on a successful UFC event, it takes if you did it in an arena without fans, like he wanted to do it at their training facility, their gym and television facility in Vegas, the UFC Apex Center, and it legitimately probably takes anywhere from 50 to 70 people to put on a world-class MMA event. Obviously, it's better if there's fans, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, it's better if you don't have to limit the number of people that are sitting around the cage. But what you really need is you need 16 fighters, up to 32 fighters, depending on how many you want to have on the card. You need one coach for each of those guys, maybe two for each of those guys. You need a single referee and tell him he's working every fight that night. You need a cage-side doctor. You need someone to run the clock. And you need three judges. Dana White himself doesn't even have to be there. So if you could test 50 people or 70 people or whatever,
yeah,
and make sure that they are free of the coronavirus, and then you carefully control the environment, make sure they don't have contact with anyone else outside of the hotel, and you get them to and from in clean vehicles, I mean, you could legitimately put on...
It ain't happening.
You just,
come on. Are you retired from fighting, by the way? Are you still in it?
Yeah, no, I'm retired, but...
But you're the most.
If there's
you're the
any sport.
Yeah.
If there's any sport that can continue when the world is you know on fire, it's an individual sport. It's something like
sure.
mixed martial arts. It's something like tennis. It's something where you just need one
golf?
Person versus one person.
Golf. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
You could do golf.
Yeah.
Golf. You could have drones filming the whole thing.
Absolutely.
Two people out there in shootout.
We're going to take the break here. When we come back, that was The Cut at 8:05, brought to you by Wasatch Medical Clinic. We're going to come right back. We've got more to talk about. We've got our Trash Talk segment next. We're trying to figure out ways during this to get Scott Mitchell just a little bit grumpy, and we found it. It is a top 10 list of best quarterbacks of all time for the University of Utah on KSLSports.com. We're going to come back.
List. Seriously, it's so stupid.
We're going to come back. Sean O'Connell joins us next. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, former NFL quarterback, former quarterback of the University of Utah. Am I reading that right off of your bio here, Scott?
Yeah, and you may be on your own on this segment. I'll just tell you right now. This is a dumb segment. This is so stupid.
Sean O'Connell also joins us here on the program. Real OC Sports also does the breakdown on the Sirius XM for the Pac-12 network. I think that you guys do... I mean, what's right now look like for you guys broadcast wise, Sean?
Yeah, we're doing podcast form of the show, just like everyone else is. You know, it went from 3 hours basically down to an hour. So
yeah.
You can find that on SiriusXM.com and all the Twitters and things like that, just for, you know, at least we have a little bit of fun talking sports every single day.
Have you found
it? I tell you what.
I think the number one thing people ask me, and I'm sure you get it, is like, you guys do sports for a living. You guys got nothing to talk about. And I'm like, we do a talk show, man. We can talk about anything all the time. In fact, our thing is to guess about how things are going to go in the future anyway.
That's right. I mean, it's a good sports talk radio show is not just like, and so-and-so scored 37 points last night, and I was all in the second half.
That's Scott's voice. That's Scott's voice, by the way.
Hey, and by the way, I don't guess about the future. I know what's going to happen. If you listen to our show, I'm always right. Always right.
So here's what we're going to do. Our 1-800 Got Junk Trash Talk segment brought to you by 1-800 Got Junk. They make junk disappear. And the topic today, if you go on over to KSLSports.com, Scott, there's a list here, and it's our own Trevor Allen put it together from KSLSports.com.
He may be your own. He's not mine anymore.
So I just love doing this list because it's on here. And OC, I know you're like, I didn't get to read the full thing, but guess what? We're just going to go through it kind of one by one real quickly here. So
okay.
This is just a top 10 here, and we don't have to go off of everybody here. But Frank Dolce, number 10, great, fine, okay. Dolce, number 10, there you go. Jordan Wynn, number 9. I'm trying to think of. Here's somebody. Brett Ratliff. Any thoughts on Brett Ratliff being number 8? OC.
Look, Brett Ratliff. He did great things when he was asked to do great things. But I don't know if there's just enough of a body of work from Brett Ratliff. especially at a high level and with success, that I would put him at number eight. I think, you know, I was kind of scoffing at the idea of Jordan Wynn at number nine, but...
But then when Ratliff's ahead of him, yeah.
Ratliff ahead of Jordan Wynn, that's brutal.
You know what it is? It's someone going, give me the name of 10 quarterbacks. I don't even know who any of them are. I'm just going to stick them on the list. Come on.
Jordan Wynn's accomplishments are great because it says, took him to the Poinsettia Bowl, and in their first year of the Pac-12, they went to the Sun Bowl. And you're like, that's great. All right, so we'll go to seven. 1995-96, Mike Fouts. This is a guy who... You know, 5,100 yards total, 39 touchdowns in his career. Not bad. Travis Wilson, six. Now we go top five. Here we go.
Travis Wilson, he's the all-time winningest quarterback in Utah.
Well, look, the baby giraffe obviously did some good work. Look, he threw for 7,400 yards and 54 touchdowns. So this is that in terms of, like, doing a lot of work, that's one of your guys. Mike McCoy's number five. And now here's where the real – and I think – I don't know much about Mike McCoy. Scott, that was right after your era, a couple years after.
Actually, Mike was a pretty good quarterback. And he was also a good coach. I mean, he's done well in the NFL. But
so now let's get to the controversy part, right? Trevor has Scott Mitchell at number four. He has Tyler Huntley at number three. He has Brian Johnson at number two. And Alex Smith at number one. I'm not going to get – I want to get Scott's thoughts in a second, but I want to get your objective – opinion about that top four of Scott, then Tyler, then Brian Johnson, then Alex Smith.
All right. Alex Smith is, all due respect to Scott Mitchell, Alex Smith is number one. He was a Heisman Trophy finalist for a good reason. He's great. He's been great in the NFL, underrated in the NFL, as was Scott. So Alex Smith is definitive number one. Tyler Huntley is rated way too high here. Look, I love the turnaround that we saw from Tyler Huntley in the 2019 season. But if you average out his full body of work over the course of a career, and that's what you have to do on an all-time top whatever list, you can't put him above Scott Mitchell.
So this is a recency bias deal right here.
Well, I mean, the whole list has some recency bias to it. But, yeah, I think that from the accomplishments – of what they did in the uniform, it makes sense that you would go maybe Alex Smith one, Brian Johnson two, Scott Mitchell three. I would listen to people who wanted to put Scott Mitchell two. I think there's a reason to put Scott Mitchell two over Brian Johnson, but I understand why. You know, Brian Johnson delivered the biggest win in program history.
Okay, Scott, put him there. Scott, your thoughts on the list here, buddy?
I think you have to ask yourself what determines who is the best guy? Because I was on crappy teams. I mean, Alex Smith was a good quarterback in college at Utah. He was on some really good football teams.
Yeah,
I would kill to have some of the defenses that these teams have. I mean, we were the number one ranked offense in the country and the last ranked defense in the country. And so, I look at it more from an ability standpoint. Like just who is the guy that actually at the position plays it as good as anyone else. And so. I think Brian had a good career. I don't think he was a great quarterback. I just don't. I'm not convinced about Alex even when he was in college. I mean, I know you say he's
so
a great quarterback.
Are you number one on your list?
Well, yeah, I'm number one on the list.
Well, look, he's number one in the record book. Scott, you can make an easy case for Scott Mitchell here.
He's
number one in the record book. This is not just a self-fulfilling prophecy.
No, I'm not. I get it. And I'm not. Look, and here's the thing. Alex Smith was not the number one pick in the NFL draft. That was a mistake. He was not the number one pick in the draft. And I've had a tremendous
amount. There have been way worse misses on first picks.
Let me finish.
How can you say that about Alex
Hang
Smith?
On. Hold on. Oh, now you all are getting defensive. Hang on just a second. Alex Smith was not the number one pick. He wasn't the best player in college football. There's no way. He was not the best available pick in the draft. And I have said this numerous times. I have had a tremendous respect for Alex Smith and what he did because because he really salvaged his career, and he did it when he took a backseat with the 49ers, when they benched him for the flag bearer there. And so,
Scott, we're out of time.
Which was an egregious mistake by Jim Harbaugh, by the way.
No question about it. But Alex has done a tremendous job. He got with a really good coach in Andy Reid. He did a tremendous job of making a great career. He really did. And he's had a tremendous career.
This music means we're out of time. We want to thank Real OC, Sean O'Connell joining us.
I got more to say on this, Alex.
I know you do.
I'm not sure you're cutting me off.
It's radio time that cuts you off. It's part of the deal.
Smith 1, Scott Mitchell 2.
There you go. All right. We're going to take the break here. OC, thanks for joining us, man.
1A and 1A.
My pleasure.
Thanks for being with us. We're going to come back. More to go after news, traffic, and weather right here on KSL News Radio. All right, man.
Look, Utah football didn't start till they got to the Mountain West.
Right. Sean, you still there? No, he cut off. That's good. All right.
KSL's Unrivaled. The teams you live for. The sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled, Alex Keery and Scott Mitchell. Thanks for being with us, and thanks for hanging out. We've had a fun time. Sean O'Connell joined us for the first 30 minutes of the program. If you missed any of that, it was kind of a laugh fest. I had a lot of fun.
Oh, I had a great time, too.
Part of it is I was
laughing hard, Alex.
I just love – the thing was it wasn't a setup. You knew what we were going to talk about. It wasn't like pulling the rug out from under you.
No.
But I get to do this once a year. There's at least once a year where a list comes out of top quarterbacks at Utah of all time. And this is the funniest one because it was the furthest down I've ever seen you. And it was a person that sits maybe 6 feet from you. Not that you guys intersect all the time, but our desks are maybe 6 feet away from Trevor Allen. He wrote an article and put you at number four all time at quarterback. I just thought, look, I got more respect for Trevor and all this. The biggest person in the building and obviously the most important former athlete in our sports department. Only former athlete in our sports department. No, OC, I guess, counts. So, I mean, the reality is that he put you at four. That takes some guts, Scott.
Sure. And Trevor wasn't even born when I was playing. The whole recency bias is a real thing, and whatever. I don't even care about it. The sad thing to me, really, thing.
Oh, look, sad list. Yeah,
is
yeah.
There aren't that many to begin with.
That's true. I mean, no, it's true.
If you include me in the top four, and anyone in their normal right mind would,
that's generous.
Then that's about all there is. Tyler Huntley was not a great quarterback. Okay, he did an amazing job with what he had, but to sit in a pocket, and I'd say this on our broadcasts on the radio, for him to sit in the pocket and read a defense like you have to do to be a quarterback, you kind of need to do it at the college level,
yeah.
And you definitely need to do it at the pro level. He doesn't have that ability. He can't see it in time and make that quick decision. He was really good if you moved him out of the pocket. If he just had one guy to go to, he was okay. But to actually go through multiple reads, that wasn't something he could do. And I was doing that stuff all throughout my career in college and the pros. I know what it is to be a great quarterback. I do. I know. Okay. I know. And I know one when I see one.
I mean, it's true though too. I mean, look, Alex Smith was a really good quarterback on a really good team. Tyler Huntley was on an extremely good team, and so was Brian Johnson. And those were winning teams. The thing about your era, Utah football, was it was not Utah's era. This is Utah's era in the state. I mean, this is Utah has owned the state in football for more than a decade. And so it's easy to put guys on there that have these massive records. You know, Alex Smith was 21-1 as a starter. You think about, these other guys, very similar records in terms of, like, they won tons of games. And
and he was coached by Urban Meyer, and I mean,
right. We were reading those texts yesterday, and I brought that one up about somebody who picked you off in high school, and I forgot to tell you a guy even better. So we were reading these tweets about, your most amazing sports moment, and a guy tweeted that he picked off Scott in high school when he played at Orem, and Scott was at Springville. So somebody added to that thread. Somebody added to that thread, and it was amazing, and it was like, that checks out, because I'm from Detroit, and Scott Mitchell, all he did was throw interceptions. And I thought, oh my goodness, like they'll come out of the woodwork and find you. They'll criticize old Scott Mitchell.
That's
oh,
the same guy that sent me all the burned betting slips too.
Oh, those poor Detroit fans. All right. So a couple of things we want to get to on the program today. One, we put
what
out
was that guy's name, by the way.
I'm not doing that because I did that yesterday, and then you're like, I know that guy. I saw him at an RC Willie once and I had a discussion with him. We're not gonna do that. I'm not gonna not especially over the air. So here's the deal on this one. One, a couple things. Major League Baseball is still – today would have been the opening day of Major League Baseball. Not in Utah. That's true. Not with the snow. But I will say that the interesting thing about all this, about baseball not starting today, I never cared that much about opening day that much. Some people are like, it's sacred opening days. It's – sacred sporting event. Some of our guys in our sports department. The thing is that none of us really pay attention to baseball until about mid-July anyway, about the All-Star break. So baseball is really pushing hard, and they feel like that this is something they're going to keep being able to push. And there has been discussion about the possibility of a World Series at Christmas. And you obviously would need to, because it's already cold, they've already pushed so many of these, they've already pushed so much of the off season or of baseball into November, the 1st of November, very last week of October. Usually it's very cold during the World Series. How on earth would you be able to have a World Series in at Christmas time, Scott?
Just hearing that, I'm trying to think in my head. Okay, you have games leading up to the World Series, right? How do you play baseball in Chicago in November?
Right.
How do you play in New York?
Why are they insisting on
playing in Boston
the
in
whole,
November?
The whole thing
I
is
mean, all these outdoor northern cold weather stadiums.
Yeah.
Detroit. I mean, Detroit has an outdoor. I mean, I get the whole idea of trying to tie it to a holiday, but I just don't see how you could play playoff games leading up to it unless they wouldn't want to do this unless they just found all the indoor stadiums.
And that's what the idea was. So Scott Boras, who's an agent in one of these powerhouse agents in baseball, he made the suggestion, and people are starting to kind of go, oh, okay. And here's the deal is that he's fighting for something that is already dead, and that's the 162 game season. You're not getting back a 162 game season, and you shouldn't ask for a 162 game season. Yeah, there's lost revenue. Yeah, there's but the thing is that there's not going to be have the 100 game season. Why do you need to fight over this 162 games? First of all, it's a long stinking season, and that's such an arbitrary number. 162 games is so lame, and I like sports, and that is lame.
Well, let's say you just did it, right? And you go, okay, you're a Boston Red Sox fan, and you're going to be in the playoffs, and you're going to be playing, I don't know, in Minnesota. So all the Red Sox fans, they go, okay, we're in the league championship series, whatever. We now have to travel, so there's an expense to travel to go watch the series. And I assume you're going to see the whole series there, so you're going to be there for like a week. And so is enough fans just going to go to that game? And then the fans go, well, shoot, now we're in the World Series, and the World Series is now in Tampa, Florida, or it's in Miami or somewhere, in Arizona, where a warm weather place. And now we've spent all this money in Minneapolis, and and when I say us, you're talking what? 15,000-20,000 fans, maybe half of whatever a baseball stadium is, and so now magically you're going to get that many people to spend, I mean you're looking at easily 12-15 grand if you're going to stay somewhere a week, and you're going to get baseball tickets, you're going to feed yourself, your airline tickets, the whole thing. I don't see how a fan base is going to follow a team just through the playoffs if they have to go to these other areas,
right,
to play. It's fun when you have that home crowd, you have your home field. That's a big part of baseball. I don't see logistically how this thing could ever happen.
We're going to be reading some of our listeners who've tweeted out some of the responses to some of our questions. Yesterday, it was, what was the biggest accomplishment in your athletic career, that the thing that you was just like, you could brag about this for the rest of your life, and even if it was a small thing. But we also added one today, which was, what was your biggest heartbreak in sports, either as a fan or as a player, whatever it might be? We're going to read some of those, plus give you a buy or sell coming up around the corner right here on KSL's Unrivaled. Stay with us. All right, hopefully you've had as much fun as we have today. Welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Shortened show, of course, these days with our the coronavirus question and answer that we do on KSL News Radio now, 7 to 8 o'clock. You can hear that while we're trying to figure out and get a handle on this pandemic across the world. And also in the meantime, trying to keep ourselves entertained. A lot of people bored out there. Scott, what's the thing? Oh, you are doing what a lot of people are doing, what I did yesterday, and you went on to Netflix and you got yourself locked up in a weird documentary, bro.
Yeah, the cool thing about streaming television is there's a lot of content out there, and you can lose yourself. Not only like crazy Tiger King documentaries, this guy just insane. All those people.
Tiger King was one of the more eye opening things where I went, oh, people. You can't write a fictional character like this. No. It has to be a documentary.
Yeah. It was insane. And all the people in that exotic animal world, and they showed three different groups of people.
Did you finish it? Haven't finished it yet.
So I have 15 minutes left of the seven.
I can't.
Yeah, and I'm sure I still feel like there's still a bit of a twist to this I don't know about.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But, you know, the other thing that I watched was The Biggest Loser, my season.
You went back and rewatched it?
Watched it.
Oh,
and,
nice.
And I had to
say, did you still not win it?
I shed a few tears.
Oh, you did?
No, I still didn't win it.
Oh, okay. Do they really give, what is it, $500,000 or $250,000?
$250,000 to the winner.
Man, who won it your season?
Toma.
Oh, boy.
And
I don't think I watched it enough. I did watch a handful of episodes of your season. I remember you coming back. And I remember being like, this guy, I'm like, this is, I'm trying to tell my wife. She's like, oh, yeah, Scott Mitchell. He's like from Springville. I go, he played in the NFL. I'm like, that's how I know you remember him as being the guy who is from Utah who might have played football at some point. But this guy played for the Detroit Lions, man. So
and threw interceptions all the time.
Yeah. This guy. I'm glad you can have a sense of humor about it. Okay. It's that time of the night where we jam together about... well, just tell people what the buy and sell is. I'm going to get the music going here, Scott. Just,
all right, we like to invest in things in our country, and we have a stock market. And so we're going to basically say, look at a company, and we either like it or we don't. So we buy it, we invest in it, or we sell it. We divest ourselves from it. So there are things in sports that we look at similarly. And we actually decide if we're going to buy or sell them.
Okay, so here we go. Brought to you by Online Trading Academy. It's our buy or sell segment. Register now for a free 3-hour workshop, tradingacademy.com. So I'm going to start this one off. This might be the one that I want to talk about the most, maybe. Okay. Taysom Hill being the official quarterback, the backup quarterback to Drew Brees at the Saints. What is that? Is that possible? So buy or sell, first of all, him being the backup to Drew Brees at the Saints.
I completely buy Taysom Hill being the backup quarterback, and I also completely buy him staying in every bit the same role that he's in right now.
So you're the backup and you're doing those weird, crazy things.
A lot of the crazy things that he's actually doing are there. It's one play. It's not like he's in there every single play on defense or offense. So his actual exposure to things is fairly limited, but there's a payoff to it that I think is extremely valuable. And the payoff is that he's in the flow of the game. The worst thing in the world as a backup quarterback is to stand on the sideline and not get in the game and know that you have to be ready. And so all you're doing the whole game is watching the starting quarterback and to see, because you don't watch the play. You watch after the play, did the quarterback get hit? Is he going to get up from the play? Because you're always on the ready. And it's so, like, emotionally draining. When you're a backup like Taysom Hill, it's like you're in the game.
Sure.
You go out and play. And so when you actually step on the field, something happens to Drew Brees, it's not like a deer in the headlights kind of, I need a few plays to get warmed up or into this thing, it's like right off the bat, you're like, yeah, let's go. I'm ready to play. And so the nerves of not getting in a game are actually gone. And I think it's a brilliant way for a backup to do it. I would love to do that. And the reason I say it, Alex, is when I was the backup, it was awful backing up Dan Marino because you never played. And so you went through the pregame nerve for 16 weeks. It was just miserable. Yeah. But when I started playing, I was still the holder. and actually holding became so much easier and better because I was already in the game. It's like, yeah, come in, kick it, no big deal. But it was a much more stressful thing when I was the backup and I was on the sidelines. Because you come in cold and you get like three or four snaps a game where you're catching the snap and setting it down for the – it was harder, much harder when I was the backup as opposed to when I was playing. So
you took that off your plate. You took that off your plate for you. But Taysom's going to be doing all this other stuff. So
yeah, but he's not really – you know, it's like, you know, maybe they limit him returning – kickoffs. I don't know, but I mean, most of the time when you run down the field and cover a punt or something, there's just not a lot of times where you're just taking these crushing blows over and over again. And you know, if he was in the game as like a tight end or a wide receiver kind of guy, or even in a hybrid running back position, he's more exposed if he was doing it on a regular basis as opposed to just, you know, five or six plays a game.
I asked people via Twitter today about things that became the most heartbreaking for them to watch throughout their just whenever in their lives of sports. A lot of Jordan push-off comments. But let me just hit some of the ones up that are on here. I told some of these guys that I'd love to read them over the air. David Marshall tweeted at us. He says, Bavetta waving off Howard Eisley's shot and calling Harper's good. this one, and you know that you can always tell where like people are from and like what they, you know, who they cheer for and whatever. Kirby Puckett's home run in game 6 of the World Series. I know, classic baseball, great moment, blah, blah. That destroyed me. I think there's a lot of people have that. Now, Tim Eddington on Twitter says, for me, it has to be the Dell of a Dagger in 2012. That's when Matthew Dellavedova hit just over a half court shot to beat BYU. I mean, BYU's walking away winner over St. Mary's, and then a half court shot from Matthew Dellavedova was. I've never seen the air go out of a building faster. I mean, just absolutely. Another one, Josh Tenney. My toughest sports moment was watching BYU football blow a 27-7 lead with 40 seconds remaining in the third quarter, having so many years in a row losing so many years in a row. It gave me hope, then dashed that hope to pieces. Man. You know, it's funny. I hadn't thought about that game. It was only 2 years ago. That is one of the worst games for BYU fans, for certain, in memory. I can't imagine so many. I mean, just, yeah. I mean, it was, I couldn't believe it. That pick six changed it all. Our own Sam Farnsworth. Detmer's final pass of his college career. A pick against Iowa in the Holiday Bowl to finish in a tie. John Elway's retirement press conference, the 97 finals with Steve Kerr. Then 98, the Jordan push-off, double heartbreak, back-to-back years. So there you go. Scott, anyone, real quick, before we, because we'll do, well, actually, you know what we'll do? Let's do more of this, and we'll extend it into the podcast. I want you to kind of ruminate on that and think about heartbreaking moments for you as a fan, and I want the most heartbreaking moment for you as a professional athlete, okay?
I can do that, Alex.
I want you to deliver on that. Yeah. Our show's over for tonight, though. We're glad you're with us. Thanks for being with us. Thanks to Sean O'Connell for joining us the first half of the program. Scott Mitchell, of course, dialed into the show remotely, and we appreciate him being a part of it either way. And you guys dealing with our weird deal of what life is now. So for Scott Mitchell, I'm Alex Keery. Thanks for hanging out with us. You can find any of the podcasts and any of these portions of the segments that are put onto podcasts at kslsports.com. Click on the podcast page or kslnewsradio.com as well. Find it there. For Scott, I'm Alex. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.